Yes, sir.
Okay, good. How you been?
Oh, well, it's funny. I think this time last year I was a little bit under the weather and I was fine. I got back from the American Meteorological Society conference in Austin and on my last day on my way out, I got that sore throat. And I'm on the other side of strep, but I'm still writing it out. So please bear with me if I sound a little under the weather. Har har.
You had strep throat?
I am getting over strep throat without the antibiotics. Yes. I think it's strep, something like that. It looked like it.
Do you not like antibiotics?
Well, here's the deal. I've dealt with strep many times in my life. As a kid, I used to have strep multiple times a year. But if you look at how I ate, which I was not aware of my eating habits at the time because my poor mother was not aware of, how we have strayed from sensible meals as an, independent, ambitious mother. I was left to fend for myself in the kitchen, and my concoctions were not always the best. And I grew up on bread and cheese and cereal, and so yeah, Kellogg's raised me, and so I was always getting sick. And then when I got to New Orleans, I had a vegan boyfriend who said, "Raphael, you are what you eat." He taught me to make a pot liquor, which is the collard green soup with all the good veggies, and you just drink the broth for a few days, and I cured myself without antibiotics. And that was great. I didn't have it again for 10 years until I started eating junk food because I was getting too busy and too poor. I was a student and an actress, and but didn't have time for that. And within a month of eating like Popeye's chicken the first time, and then it was varied food sources the next time, years later, I got strep throat. But I treated it with antibiotics this time and the following time. And what happened is that I actually, a month after getting strep, I got an autoimmune response where my body attacked my feet, confusing it, either confusing it with the enemy or fighting the enemy that were in the nether regions where my body had, maintained it at. I don't know. But, it created an immune response that disabled me for 6 months. I was able to avoid it the second time, but in both cases, I had to take medication that's kind of harsh on the digestive for 2 years at a time. So this time I'm like, okay, now what I've learned, because I didn't have a rheumatologist diagnose me properly. They called it reactive arthritis, and anything can cause reactive arthritis, but they don't really understand it. But when I said there was strep at the onset each time, it was not them, but Dr. Google that helped diagnose me. When I put in strep throat and reactive arthritis, I found out there was post-streptococcal reactive arthritis. And I said, well, I know that also the strep was related to my eating habits. So then, wait a minute, what am I going to take an antibiotic to cure an illness that is, based off of the weakness in my gut? And I'm going to add a gut grenade? And then expect my immune system to not like be on the fritz or need to. And especially that now what I'm learning about leaky gut and yuck, I mean, once that the gut barrier breaks down and particles can get through, there's not really a lot that can heal it, except for I've been doing fruits and vegetables as much as I can. I got off of it for Christmas and New Year's, but that look into that for the fruitarian, mostly raw. Vegan, no grains, no meat, no dairy. I mean, at least as a cleanse, your body, you realize how much your body is starving for fruits and vegetables. First of all, we way underdo it. And the great thing about the diet is if you fail, you still end up eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. And it's one of the things we need to learn to do is make ourselves like these pipes, because it's all about the lymphatic and the blood, or your two liquids. And if your lymphatic is sluggish, you're going to host parasites, heavy metals, viruses, molds, and I think they're throwing some heavy metal stuff. The problem is I actually cleared up some problem I had for years where I couldn't even process one drink because I would get sick. I would get a stomach migraine. And then all of a sudden I was able to drink again. So then I think I drank, which kind of led to like me being off and vulnerable, especially going to the American Meteorological Society conference and having to bite my tongue as much as I did, even though I didn't always quite succeed in doing that. And I went over there to ask questions and to find to see how many answers I could get, because I had a lot of discoveries in the last year. I was trying to fill you in since we last spoke, it's literally been a page turner for me, how just realizations have been just poured in, just basic observations, parts of the narrative that are missing. It's like I've been staring at the landscape for so long, and a few realizations, and who's gatekeeping, and what my work and my podcast keeps coming back to is was the work of one person, one individual, and I interviewed him, Weather War 101, and his take on it, and my own observations, and then some new realizations during the last hurricane season. It was really like full circle to come to the American Meteorological Society conference this year to bring some questions, because actually my podcast starts out at the one in New Orleans, I guess it was last year, and it's been a roller coaster, like literally a roller coaster. So I hope to be able to share some of those details as you want to dive in, to which parts I'm not sure.
Well, let's reel back a little bit over some of the things you just said. Have you ever heard that D3 strengthens the immune system?
Yes, and we're all deficient now for some strange reason, right?
Yeah.
And actually, it was one of my videos, too, in my the third Beyond the Veil. It's these doctors in Louisiana who are saying, you know, 15 years ago, and this was like in 2012 or 2010, 2010 that they were saying this. They're saying 15 years ago, 1 in 100 people that were coming into our office chronically ill were suffering from, you know, heavy metal toxicity. Now it's 99 out of 100, you know, like 90%+ are vitamin D deficient,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's an epidemic. It's just like, that's the given. Don't, if you haven't had your vitamin D levels checked, just assume you're deficient and go prove that you're not.
Exactly. You had mentioned something about an immune response that attacked your feet.
Yeah, it was just a rare, weird way that my body handled the stress of basically probably having its GI tract destroyed between cigarettes and alcohol. And, you know, it was a social drinker, lots of social occasions to drink in New Orleans. And I, you know, I held my own for a couple decades. So, you know, all that candida, which is ironically, I've been avoiding fruits for all these years to get rid of candida, but, I've been fighting it, by going into fruits. It's fructose is a different kind. If you're just doing fruits, you're moving your lymphatic and your system. And, you just, you know, nothing sticks. You can really start dropping a lot of stuff. It's interesting. I'd like to see how far I can go with it.
Have you ever tried using club soda? Drink club soda. It's very good for the stomach. It soothes the stomach a lot. I don't know if you have any gut problems like that.
Oh, I mean, I do like, you know, fermented vegetables. I don't do fermented fruits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But fermented vegetables.
I think you should try club soda, see if it works for you.
Yeah, I like sparkling water. I mean, I might drink it just like that. I don't know about settling my stomach. But it's about what I bring in on a regular basis. And if I start doing bread and cheese, you know, that as a default, that ends up, you know, sandwiches and your pizzas and your quick fixes. It clogs. I mean, dairy is just, it's devastating to the immune system and to congestion. But there's a lot of pieces, and we're being attacked on a multi-front. I've also done a lot of work interviewing Sterling Hill. If you want to follow her on Facebook, she's pretty phenomenal. She's given testimony to the EPA about the dangers of glyphosate. She's worked closely with a lot of the doctors that have mysteriously been killed or died in the last 2-3 years. Some of the 80-plus doctors now in the holistic world that have had unfortunate circumstances befall them in one way, shape, or form in the last few years that have worked with GCAMF, the cancer cure, which is something the pharmaceuticals companies can't patent because it's something we make in our bodies naturally, but great. The people that reverse autism, vaccine induced autism. So yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
Do you eat any kind of gluten? Are you off gluten?
If I do Ezekiel bread, that'll be what I do now.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I teeter totter. I go from one extreme to the other is my problem. When I get distracted, I do the best I can, but I'm a mother, and sometimes also all my free time is spent researching, so I cut corners, and I pay for it dearly. So I'm working on myself, because really being an activist is about, first of all, activating your own life.
No kidding.
And the changes you need. So it's a work in process, because we also have this important message we feel compelled to deliver because it has been landed on us. Kind of.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did you say you got stomach migraines?
Yeah.
What's that? Explain that to us.
I believe that's just a symptom of a candida. That's how bad my candida had gotten. If I would sugar bomb my gut, then I would get these headaches and nausea when I processed too much sugar, and it'd be like a migraine. Nobody knew. I mean, it's funny. I was saying I never got nauseous before during my pregnancy, but afterwards, every time I got hungry, I would suffer with a little bit of nausea. I was just not quite right. And actually going on the fruit diet, even as short term as I did it before I fell off for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and I was just getting back on when I got sick. But the body, I was long overdue for being rested, and I've also had some recent personal threats to myself and my son.
Threats?
Yeah, well, I'm bringing forward some really powerful stuff. I mean, along with other people, but like what we discovered is that weather is weaponized, and we can prove it, and who is doing it. So yeah, there's gang stalkers on Facebook that are just, but they ended up, you could be, they follow us chemtrail activists around as it is. Have you met them?
Well, no, but I do think that your information is somehow being, I don't know if blocked is the right word. It's almost like they're trying to, it used to be real easy to find your stuff. And now, in order to find your stuff, you have to type things absolutely exactly. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, yeah. The censorship has really clamped down. That's for sure. And it's very, everybody, we feel it across the board, though. My stuff, I think, gets its heavier share of censorship for some reason. I've been on the radar I crossed multiple radar hairs like several times with different causes. So,
yeah, I was amazed. That's the first thing I noticed, because I hadn't like Googled your stuff in a while, and it's like, damn, I can't even find it. You have to spell your first name exactly right, or you're not going to get anything.
Well, you know what? You can find me under Nola Butterfly across the board, like YouTube, BitChute. Okay. I started up with BitChute, and I put up all my videos up there because YouTube took half of my videos down, too.
Why?
So, well, I have no idea, because I was not able to get to it in time to even read what it was. All of a sudden, like, half my videos are up, half are down.
Don't
know why. So, now I since learned there's also a Beyond the Veil radio show that has a trademark that trademarked after I had a show. So, I don't know.
That's not by chance. I don't.
But think. I have not had a copyright strike until, I guess, which got me copyright strike. Something I had permission to use was gotten off of a lady on Facebook, mirrored by another guy who let me mirror it, and it was a video of Las Vegas where somebody was there saying, I really don't see anything, anybody hurt at all, I'm not buying it. The girl on the holding the cell phone who's there says that, and I have that video. It's just like, I don't make any comment about it. I'm just saying that's testimony. I think they nipped a few people in the butt on that one. I think they just, but they had those bodies and crisis actors ready to roll out. But they made it, they mixed it up. A lot of people got trampled, terrorized, legitimately, and some people got nicked.
Which event are you talking about?
That's the Las Vegas one I'm talking about.
Oh, the most recent one. Okay.
Yeah. The one that, like, just we stopped talking about all of a sudden on the mainstream. We noticed that. It's just like, went bye-bye. Like, yeah. It never happened.
Isn't that
the biggest
weird?
Mass shooting in America and a whole bunch of shenanigans and, like, multiple shooters. And you got to, like, basically shut everyone the F up. Like, they went around getting all – so you know what I got? I got a copyright strike on that video, and it was by a Marine who didn't have access to that video.
What?
And I – yeah. And not only that, I wish I would have recorded this because this gets me. YouTube says, okay, like, if you get a copyright strike, right, you have a right to defend yourself. What if the guy's just making it up like he was?
Right.
So it just talked about copyright school, but it talked about my other options. But when I clicked on my other options, it just circled me back to copyright school. And I clicked on copyright school to find out about it. And then I was like committed to it. And like I'd started it. I'm done. You know, that was my option.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to accept the copyright strike. And it was some Marine working. So that's the closest I could have come to proving that YouTube actually worked with a Marine in false allegation and trapping me in false allegations. So that would mean that if YouTube is working with the military is U.S. government. If the U.S. government is telling Facebook what to do, then that's government censorship, and that's not under their freedom of speech of, you know, private enterprise or whatever they hide under for their own permission to censor us.
Aren't Facebook and Google somehow related to the government in some way?
They are. I don't know how to prove it, but I know it. Mm-hmm. It's like that cheating spouse. Do you really need to catch them in the act? Do you really need to when you know? You know. But I catch them in the act. You know how when Facebook has been open, I've had problems with my Google search. Like they work in tandem together. So what? I stopped using certain browsers with Chrome when I was on Chrome. If I wouldn't have like my if I look back on my search browser, it wouldn't give me my history. So it just things that limit your research tools and your techniques and slow you down.
So you're still doing your program called Beyond the Veil, right?
Yeah, I do want to wrap it up, and I actually am in the process of working on the documentary that's just going to put all the information that I'm going to try to share here that's relevant in the show. And then I've assembled throughout these series of podcasts that puts the whole picture together of what we're really seeing, because I find that the chemtrail narrative is strictly guarded by those with the most interest. And that is only to be natural if you think about it. But what, I don't know, like how far into climate engineering reality you and your listeners venture into, generally speaking?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And I guess we could dive into that now if you wanted to. It's such an intense topic. One of the things, and I'm no expert by any means on geoengineering, but one of the things I've just kind of come to grips with, and I was chatting that to you before we started the show, is this weird psyop that's going on where these people that go to these geoengineering conferences, these real mainstream scientists, say things like, well, what if we sprayed sulfates into the air? And what if we sprayed nano aluminum into the air? And it's like, you're looking at them and thinking, what? You're saying chemtrails is this weird conspiracy theory. And then you're right after that saying, maybe we ought to do some chemtrailing. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, this is exactly what I stormed out of the American Meteorological Society conference on the last note before I actually had to leave town. I wanted to attend a couple of the geoengineering talks, and I missed the opportunity to ask my question. There was just one question for the first lecturer who was talking about the various aerosol models. And, you know, and as soon as she saw me walking in, she said, and I must say, these are all just models. These are not being done out in the field. Yeah. Just models. I said, yes, yes, I understand your narrative and where you operate from. This is like not happening yet, but we will be making it happen. But it's definitely not happening yet. No, because what? Because what? Because contrails form on pixie dust, my dear. No, look, all contrails are chemtrails. First of all, you're playing a linguistic game here. All contrails are chemtrails. They condense over chemicals. That is what the EPA and the FAA will tell you themselves if you read their contrail fact sheet. Sulfur and CO2 and a whole host of other chemicals, sulfur oxide, nitrous oxide. Anyway, the list goes on. That's just like from the given. And then who knows what the various cocktails are, because jet fuel variation, you know, makes a difference. Jim Lee covers the jet fuel issue really well, and I ran into him at the American Meteorological Society conference, the AMS, from here on out. And he's forced the narrative on the public front to such an extent on an intelligent level for years that they actually are out in California while we were at the conference creating another conference that he was too busy to attend, right, because he didn't know about it till he gets there. They're creating one in his honor because he wrote a story about the dual fuel solution, where you do a biofuel in the stratosphere, and then you do biofuel in the down by the airports in the lower altitudes, and up in the stratosphere you do sulfur fuels. You release your sulfur, and then you can actually get credit from the carbon cabal for doing your geoengineering and doing what you can to, you know. So this is what they're already talking about, and they were going to, I guess, talk about it some more. I'm a little confused there, but he has I would follow him because he has some great interviews, and he interviewed me as well. So I'm looking forward to him coming on board to this hurricane, is being interacting with Doppler radar, which is what I observed and what I went to go ask about. But the last speaker who was speaking about geoengineering, the second to last speaker, there was a guy who said, well, how do you know if your model is going to be good enough? I mean, it's such a risk. She goes, yeah, well, there's variables, of course. That's why we need other people with competent models like ours, because the more, the more triangulation, you know, you get on the modeling, the better chances you have the correct outcome. It's like, whoa, my God, you crazy mofos, you are going to try to figure out the checks and balances of the Earth's hydrological cycle, and you're going to throw more chemicals at it. God help us all. Oh, my God. It's just, you know, no wonder why I have strep throat. I didn't hurl right then. But then the next talk, I had another, and these are like little 15-minute peanut intervals of like science. What they're basically selling their services, what we could do. And what was great about this next guy is how much he was welcoming the input of the individual out there, because we want to hear from everybody to know what's going on, and so we could figure out climate change. And this is an open conversation. And as soon as I got there, it wasn't an open conversation, let me tell you. That's for sure. I did get to ask the question at the end. So I said, okay. Oh, so the guy who spoke before me was talking about how he had actually written an article about 27 reasons why we should not geoengineer. But it might be necessary. And here's why: the checks and balances, you know, the checks, pros and cons of the checks and balances of the situation, you know. Is it worth it? Is it not? Here's what we gain. Here's what we lose. And he's basically selling it in a nutshell, even though he was also the one saying we shouldn't be buying it. And he was also open to input from people out there and saying, you know, it's not going on yet. And of course, it's not going on yet. So I said, yeah. I've written a series of articles, too, for the Liberty Beacon Project, reframing the contrail narrative. Contrails matter. And it's a four-part series where I debunk some of the chemtrail myths put out by some of the gatekeepers to keep us repeating disinfo. that doesn't advance the narrative and that keeps us from looking in the right direction. So it's a big neurolinguistic programming game that's going on, and so that I just basically broke the code on. But what we need to be looking at is I'm not going to go into I'm biting my tongue right now in one direction.
Well, let me throw
go ahead.
Let me throw something in. You might find this interesting. I found it absolutely stunning and fascinating. I was listening to a film by Dane Wigington, and he was being interviewed by that fellow. He just calls himself Lionel. And the one thing that Dane Wigington said is that the modern jets, both the military and the commercial jets, have what's called a high bypass turbofan jet engine that will not, I repeat, not produce a contrail except under very rare circumstances. So what Dane was saying is that if you're seeing what looks like a contrail from one of these types of jets, whether it's military or commercial, it almost has to be that they're spraying, because these new engines don't really produce contrails.
Well, here's where Dane and I, and this is where the, you know, might be shocking or controversial, or how dare you attack Dane. And a lot of us have woken up to Dane on our own terms. Okay. Now that might be very well or true. Okay. That might be true.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be true.
Mm-hmm.
I have not got enough science to prove this. And then I would be in the position of having to counter contemporary science, you know? So contemporary science actually says, the debunkers say, actually, they make more contrails now. They do make more contrails. That's the way they are now. Well, so I say, forget that argument. Forget these dead-end arguments. Hold them accountable for their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stop making claims you don't know about, that you were given by someone else. What do you know? You know that some even small changes in the location or abundance of clouds, according to NASA, can change the climate more than the anticipated changes brought about by greenhouse gases, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change. That's according to NASA.
Well, doesn't NASA have one of their groups of clouds they call Jet Cirrus now?
Well, but that's the language I use. I told them at the American Meteorological Society conference, when I asked my last question before storming out of there.
You stormed out.
They're so short on time as it is. It wasn't going to go any further, and I just couldn't. I stormed out screaming, "We do not consent." I like lost my journal, professional journalism, and I became a total activist. But
wow.
I'm like violently, vehemently allergic to lies. And it's so funny, that quote I just gave you from NASA, I totally forgot to say, I think I'm about to process that last recording of it. I haven't heard it yet, but I forgot to say that. But there was also, it was just short on time, and I was shocked, because here's how it went down. So he's saying, you know, I didn't approve of it, but now we might have to look at it. So now my question is this. Outside of the American Meteorological Society conference, yesterday was a sky completely taken over by jet cirrus.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to argue with me. I'm using your terminology. That is jet cirrus.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is. That is not a guess, a theory, a hoax. I saw them, you know, early in the morning, and I saw them developing throughout the day. Until all it was jet cirrus. So, even though, yeah, I realize that you're talking about stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, and what we're seeing, according to the Smithsonian Institute, who call them inadvertent geoengineering, is tropospheric aerosol geoengineering.
Okay.
Another neurolinguistic game.
Right.
So they say, well, no, we're not doing it. So, I mean, it's like, oh, and then they're like, you know, your chemtrails or something. They mentioned chemtrails. I said, deliberate or accidental. They're not, it's not on pixie dust. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So, but then he goes into the IPCC had just recently released a study saying that, You know, they looked into the issue, and they always try to dismiss it with science and a cool, like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said that contrail cirrus does not affect the weather that much, you know, basically. And I just said, bullshit, or something to that extent. I'd love to hear what I actually said. Excuse my – you can bleep that out, I hope.
No, that's fine. I think it's great. Go ahead.
I mean, so – there went, God, I hope the Liberty Beacon forgives me for identifying myself as being with them as I had done that. But I'm sure the word went around that I was there. I did have some other things happen. Like, I did bounce my theories off a few people. Some people shut down. Some people don't know. Some people, like the NOAA in that video, the guy on the side, like unofficially, not on behalf of NOAA, but was throwing out the possibilities of why the hurricane may have been going into Doppler radars. All these hurricanes, not just Irma, not just Nate, not just Harvey, Katrina, Isaac, all these storms we've been like looking up for we don't know how many years now, and we're in the middle of this investigation. How many storms are going right into the eye, going right into Doppler radar? I brought it up, and they were trying to dismiss it like, oh, well, it's because there's a lot of Doppler radar, and we have – no, there's not that many. When you play pool, you know, there's a small board, but it's a lot of holes, but you can aim for the right one, you know? And they do give a scientific thing. Like, it just – it might appear – I'm sure it has appeared like that over the years that it goes into Doppler radar, but that's just – because we have that many. And then I prove in the video that his debunk, whatever, doesn't hold water. But personally, the other guy was telling me, well, maybe we are stimulating the air. Maybe we're that good at placing them. You know, it's just throwing theories out. And I want to know what they have to say, because we're going to meet them in court. And this has nothing to do with me. Really? We are going to meet them in court because we can hold them accountable. This is the missing key. This is the Achilles heel that all these other gatekeepers don't want to acknowledge. They don't want to acknowledge the Achilles heel. If you know that there is one thing that could get you busted, if anyone ever notices the Doppler radar is steering the freaking storm, the eye of the storm with these lasers, if you can prove that, like we are proving here, then you got your guy caught red-handed. You're holding him as you turn on the lights. And it's the same mofo who's telling you about the weather. Unless someone's hijacked their system. But who runs it? Who runs Doppler radar? NOAA, Air Force, Navy, Joint Team. Like, there's like some sort of power triangulation. I had these Facebook stalkers tell me what ward I live in and tell me what my son had for dinner the night before.
Seriously?
Turtle soup. What, he just told me 15 minutes prior to that. Now, they probably weren't following us. But I also had something else happen 3 weeks ago. Oh, buckle your seatbelts on this one. So on my podcast, I also, I don't know if you caught this one, but I happened to capture the testimony of an incredible eyewitness who's an Army captain who had multiple stories about his time in the military, but who was ordered 11 days before Katrina made landfall to bring as many body bags as he could outside of New Orleans, between 100 and 150 miles out.
Mm. Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, well, he had brought 5,226 body bags 8 days out. And that was his testimony. I didn't know about it. The storm 3 days out, you know. That's when I found out about it. And I didn't take it seriously till the day before. It was like, oh, too late. But the police detective came, and I was wondering what it was about. And he wanted to know. He showed me a picture of this guy who got shot in the head and asked if I knew him. And I said, yeah, that's my Army captain.
He got killed.
Within a year. He was killed back in May. They still don't know who he is. I have a copy of his veterans paper that we forwarded to the police later on once we found it. I told him, I said, he was an army captain. Oh, I doubt that. We did a social security number. It didn't run to anything. I said, yeah, I replayed how we met. Very organic. Everything about how we met was completely organic. He had no way of knowing who we were. I met him through my boyfriend who met him randomly on the street. His story, he had multiple stories. I saw his skin bleed from the rare bone cancer he and half his unit had gotten. He had told me a lot more stories about weaponized weather, but it was the only one I captured. And he died like a case of mistaken identities on a bad drug deal. I know he was a drug addict. That'll happen to a vet who's been, you know, waylaid on the sidelines of give a fuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my French. But that's, you know, God rest his soul. And, you know, they said he was. I said, well, I have its testimony that weather is kind of at least weaponized, potentially. You want to hear it? And he dismissed it. And I said, you got a guy that you don't know who he is after 9 months still is dead, and you don't want to hear his testimony? Oh, yeah. So I haven't sent it yet. I don't know if I'm – if that's a setup or not, if I should or not. But, yeah, I kind of want to document it. It's out there in the world. Enough people have seen it. So this is – information has been mirrored and shared.
So we kind of started out talking about geoengineering, which some people call chemtrails. Then we kind of jumped to the hurricane stuff a little bit.
Well, between that, there's some anthropogenic clouds issues we could talk about, which is kind of like geoengineering.
Well, let me throw a few things out. I don't know.
Sure.
Have you? And then I kind of want to go back to the geoengineering thing a little bit. You know, I think it was August, we had Hurricane Harvey. It dumped about 50 inches of rain on Texas. Then we, in September, had Hurricane Irma, which at one point we had like 7 million people in Florida without power, 650,000 evacuated. And then a little later in September, we had Hurricane Maria, which 3.4 million people at one point were without power. And Puerto Rico has been pretty much destroyed. So, you know, we're seeing, do you think these hurricanes are part of geoengineering or just an attack on the population?
Geoengineering is just the excuse.
Yeah.
What we're seeing, you want to, I know, forget geoengineering. I mean, geoengineering is like technology used to protect us from global warming, not technology used to incite global warming and climate change. This is what we're seeing. When I noticed at the hurricane season, because, all right, I had a source in the army who told me that he was told to pack his bags, and I knew about Harvey before I knew about Harvey before it made landfall, before it was a tropical depression. And I knew about it because of him, and he knew about it a few days before that because he was told to pack his bags and be ready to leave depending on what ensued with the storm or something. He knew it was storm related. So he was like, girl, you better watch it. So I was like, because he knows I'm into the subject. So I was watching it. And then I'd heard from somebody on the street, but it was bad intel. It was just somebody else, somebody my boyfriend ran into, and they were talking, and somebody knew someone who knew someone who was a meteorologist that said it was coming to New Orleans. So my PTSD kicked in because I had just also interviewed Weather War 101. Are you familiar with his work?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. His is an epic volume of evidence, and this is what got me going further. It's a series of things that happened, of realizations. But I realized that I kept mirroring his work in my podcast. And the reason for that is because every time there was a major dumping event, that thousand-year flood, or whatever, serious weather his was the only videos that explained where it came from. Power plants and Doppler radar. Next rad. You've been thinking, well, I wasn't even sure, even after mirroring his work multiple times, the narrative, because I've been listening to Dane Wigington and others who are well-intentioned, I'm sure, but on a track that just leads us around in circles on the chemtrail thing, when you try to prove it, you know, you can prove that there's all sorts of chemicals falling out. You cannot prove which plane it goes to. No, you can't. And most of it isn't being sprayed. It's being dispersed, if you want to be technical. So that's going to get you fighting with a lot of people. But it doesn't matter also, because all you need to do to get albedo modification, which is the goal, ultimately, is to send a fleet of planes ahead of the schedule to supersaturate the air, or you could supersaturate it another way. Now they can move atmospheric rivers around. And they can do this. I believe there's a component where they can bubble up water from the ocean. And then when they're on land, they use water vapor from power plants that release massive water vapor releases that are feeding into localized weather. And this is an element of weather modification that is desirably left out of the narrative. And Dane Wigington has done a hit piece on cooling towers and weather modification, saying, actually, he adopts the tone of the meta bunker of the debunkers from chemtrails. And he's like, weather modification from cooling towers? That's absurd. I should know. I worked at cooling towers and power plants 30 years ago. Oh, Dane, did you ever stop working for them is what I want to know.
That's a good question.
And there's like the cooling tower power plants patents, you know, weather modification via cooling towers, WSACs. And people are catching on. Don't just look at that facility in Alaska. You're like, harp, harp, the angels sing, la, 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 la. No, it's in your own backyard. It's your Doppler radar. It's your microwave heater. All these microwave heaters. All these microwaves. You want to talk about, what about power plants? Let's just look at the environmental and, like, forget about being a conspiracy theorist for a minute. Just freaking look at the gosh darn heat waste coming out of these power plants. Up to 70% of the energy created is trashed as heat. I mean, that's insane. And they got thousands of these popping up all over the world. And they're like, they're synchronized. And we're seeing Zootopia and Disney showing us weather modification, showing us synchronized water vapor releases, showing us what we're seeing, showing us the patents, and showing us. And then I noticed the other day, well, my boyfriend noticed the Doppler radar was down, and then we both noticed a thick fog, thick fog we never had. I mean, we can get fog, but we had thick fog that day, and we hadn't leading up to it, and we hadn't after. And normal clouds. Normal clouds, because I also got testimony from a former Air Force weather observer who says she can't recognize the clouds anymore because they don't have that flat bottom. Remember that flat bottom? Remember? Flat bottom, girls, you make my rockin' world go round. Remember that?
I thought it was fat bottom girls.
Yeah, well, now it's flat bottom girls because now we don't have flat bottom clouds. They're all being sucked up. They're being sucked up. And what I realized is that we're not talking about weather modification. We're talking about zapping up the hydrological cycle. We're talking about global drought, increasing global drought. The more they put these puppies up, the more this global drought's rolling out.
Well,
the more the chemicals and all that. It's the chemicals, it's the microwaves. This is your global warming. And chemtrails are a part of that, but they're actually the almost the least significant part, because the least tangible part, we'll say, not the least significant. They're very significant.
Well, so is the deep state attacking the population of America? And are they using storms, fires, and chemtrails to do that, and some other things, even you're explaining? If they're doing that, what is the purpose? Is the purpose to reduce the population? Is the purpose to weaken us so that they can bring in their World War III? What do you think?
I mean, it's about centralizing really strong centralizing message. I mean, what I realized the whole hurricane season was about was pushing the need for integration of the system. Unfortunately, the more integrated, the more overlap there will be on this technology, and the more power they will have, I believe, to navigate this technology as they see fit. And that there it seems like they're already doing it on one level. I mean, it's pretty simple. We had Shomi Shiokaku talks about lasers creating clouds and all that. It's we're seeing this. We're seeing this in their technology. I mean, it needs to be answered for, and it can be. It's something that can be made held accountable. People just need to realize where to look. Critical mass, and that is. If you don't think that'll unravel the puppy, I mean, look at already how everybody's going goo goo gaga over Harvey Weinstein. That's like controlled demolition. Harvey, two man-made disasters, right?
You worked for Alex Jones for a while, right?
No. I auditioned for him when I was coming up. I never worked for Alex Jones. No.
Okay. I thought maybe you had some inside information about what it was like to work for him.
No, I couldn't say anything. All I know is that my YouTube channel goes through an NSA server and his doesn't. I don't know why.
You know, it's strange, but the past 6 months or so, he seems more and more extreme, like he's trying to provoke people rather than educate them. Have you ever noticed that?
I noticed a while ago because I dated a survivor of the Illuminati who schooled me at the time of my awakening in a way that kind of prejudiced me towards the conspiracy and the deep end of it. Based on, I think that we spoke about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where exactly are we at here? Because.
Well, we're talking about Alex Jones, and what I brought up is.
Right.
Provoking. He's provoking rather than educating.
But you're seeing this as a recent outcome and development.
Well, he's always been this way. He's just getting worse.
Right. Well, then also, sure, personalities can get that way. We can say, but beyond that, this is what I'm saying has happened in the chemtrail narrative. If you've hijacked the hydrological cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you will let someone discover this, or do you think you will put your boys out in the conversation and guide people into like a chemtrail narrative that is like a dead end narrative where you won't ever look down on the ground. You're always looking up. And you rebuff everything else that gets you, or if someone else gets close to it. I mean, you can have, I don't know if Weather War 101 is controlled opposition 2. He captures a lot of really accurate things. And so far I concur with most of what he says, and I'm still researching the rest. but I've taken notice that 3 to 4 times that I've asked him to comment on my discovery of the hurricanes going into Doppler radar, when he keeps telling me, you know what, focus on proving the power plants are easier because Doppler radar is sensitive for meteorologists because it's like calling their mother a whore. They use that. And I get it. But I thought it was strange and interesting to note that he completely refused to even comment on, after we'd had this rapport of him educating me, being very open sourced about everything he knows, and us doing this interview, they got thousands of views, and that they got noticed, and that helped actually get Dane Wigington do a debunk piece on it that didn't even actually address it. Yeah, he really showed his colors on how he debunked, quote unquote, the cooling tower thing, when we can all see that they play into it. So the thing with Alex Jones is, who was the first guy to call out 9/11? Do you know?
It was Alex, wasn't it?
No, that's where he comes in. The first guy was just a few months before, was Bill Cooper.
Yep, Bill Cooper. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Don't ever forget Bill Cooper, because he's dead. He didn't get a million plus viewers and success selling herbs and all that, and not going through NSA. He is controlling a demographic, and he is giving as much information as is necessary to incite, but then to partisanize and to keep from really doing some damage. It's hard. They don't mind who's in control. What groups are there? They know the groups. The people will have their leaders. They've done it with Christianity. They just hijack whoever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. They put their guy in there. They take over. They're masters of this. So it's not, you know, whether he has been like set up and wound up unconsciously.
Yeah,
I'll give him, you know, like maybe somebody else wound him up and he could be a fall guy. And he's playing the part. We all play the parts in our life anyway, but, you know, maybe he's just playing that part. But that's what the part he is playing. And he debunked Pizzagate. I'm going to sock him in the face if I ever see him just for that. You freaking kidding me?
Wow. Yeah, that's a whole nother.
We're not going to open out that rabbit hole. But yeah.
And no, yeah. He does. That's it. I like what you said. He's there to incite people rather than to educate them.
And
does that mean that the global elite are trying to create a civil war in the U.S.?
Yeah, but they're going to, like, you know, consciousness is rising above that, and we're so fluoridated. I don't know what they were thinking. It's just not going to happen. I mean, they can localize their, like I said when I was – I don't know if I caught this in another show. When I was 17, I ran away from home, and it was a series of – from the time I ran away from home to the LA riots was just a few months.
Yeah.
And I later found out in my life that those were the months that HARP was turned to anger frequency on LA.
Wow.
So that's interesting. Was my life's outcome in part due to like stimulation from, it is what it is. You still end up playing the parts you're given out. And as we awaken to the parts we've been playing and to the false narratives, and we just learn to see the landscape for what it really is. We learn to free ourselves up from all these different ties that bound us to it and that keep us enslaved, I think, ultimately. To find a positive lining in this message, let me finish, though, with the Doppler radar. Puerto Rico was taken out. Hurricane Maria went right into Doppler radar. Hurricane Irma went right into Doppler radar. Hurricane Nate went right into Doppler radar. But then it was sucked into the next one. So it didn't go right into it. It was going into it until the other one sucks it. And you could see the suction point. And then Katrina had 5 in a row. And you hear like how emotional I am just discovering 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it goes straight for it. It's like that's their weak freaking point. And this is the message that needs to go out, so get that out.
So
don't just look up, look down.
Well, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Is the Doppler radar pushing these hurricanes, steering them?
The laser will make it go right into it, will draw the water vapor into it. The first link I shared with you was a really, really short loop, and I don't know if you have any way of putting that up on a website later on, but that's just Nick's rad bringing in weather. That's just something my boyfriend found on the internet. We recorded. And
now you mentioned really quickly lasers there. That's a whole nother.
Well, I don't know if they're lasers, but they're these beams and these frequencies that shoot out. And I'm not the most equipped to have this conversation. I'm being educated on the difference between the microwaves and the lasers and it's a slow ride with me. But we obviously see them interacting, and we have found the patent since then. Microwave facilitated energy projection system device, you know. I don't have them in front of me, that's just off the record, and others, and just a lot of things. The effects of cooling towers and weather modification used to be studied in the 60s and 70s, but they never really came to a conclusion yet. Still to this day, weather modification has been attributed to the cooling towers, but nobody looks into it. Yet there is an organization called NumDug, which the president, didn't get to be president of the AMS Society Conference, who passed away in his sleep. was working with this group of meteorologists who study meteorology around power plants year-round, apparently for environmental reasons, but sounds like meteorological ones too. So I'd be hard-pressed to think that they would have not noticed when these thousand-year storms and floods come and we get washed away after we see six power plants locally infuse added moisture into the atmosphere from out of nowhere.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't it? And yet, this is what the evidence that we're sitting with. And this is why, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I can fear for my life or not. With them having this technology, look at the fires in California. 90 fires started in 1 hour. The fire captain said, what the? Never seen anything like that in my life. These guys that are training other firefighters, they don't recognize these storms? No, they don't. You have like bathtubs incinerated with trees standing nearby. This was directed energy weapons that I heard the DOD gave the DEA. DEWs, directed energy weapons. And now weapons and hurricanes. I mean, this is this continues to continue. Like the narrative we had, now we have parts of both the Emerald Triangle and parts of California where you can't regrow because it's not renewable, right? Agenda 21. Hello.
Not renewable.
Houston, same thing. Yeah, not renewable. It's getting people off the land. It's herding. It's harvesting the water, all the water's resources, to send them to the deserts, desert farming, or to send them where the globalist farms are, to hell with everyone else, get everyone wrangled up, kill them off. We're in an active genocide. If you're not eating clean food, clean water, simple, cutting off all the excess, you're taking in one dose of, I mean, my house is running 10 to 200 times the recommended levels of electromagnetic frequency. I got to figure this stuff out. Got to get to the bottom of that. Wow. I just had it tested the other day. We walked through here. We're like, what the? Yeah. So welcome to the New World Order. It is here. But you know what I say? Claim it. Claim it, claim it, the New World Order. Activate your intent. That means conscious knowledge of what is going on. Be brave. Tell your friends. Have truth bombs. I've been seeing a lot of people doing truth bombs lately. There is consciousness rising, and it's now or never, guys. If you're waiting for an invitation, hello, you are formally invited to awaken and rise to the occasion and enlighten your fellow human beings and yourself along the way. There's only one chance at this, and it's our own salvation we're working out. And it's, even though this is an illusion, it is an important illusion. And who we are ultimately cannot be harmed by any illusion in this spectrum unless we are fooled into fearing it. So we must really get brave and get aware and stop what we can, you know, while accepting what is. It's kind of this funny thing.
Well, Raphael, in the last 2 minutes of the show, please tell people about your websites and your YouTube radio show and documentary. I think you're doing a documentary too, right?
Yes, the documentary will be out in within the next few months, if not sooner. But I am Nola Butterfly across the internet, and that's YouTube, that's Facebook, that's BitChute. I think I'm on Steemit. I don't know if I'm Nola Butterfly on Steemit, but just look me up like that. It's Beyond the Veil, but because of trademark things, it's going to be BTV. Although some places you could still find Beyond the Veil. And I have a children's chemtrail book called Funny Clouds. If you want some support to tell them the truth out there in a simple narrative that also has a strong anti-GMO message, and reduce, reuse, recycle. Let's get off the grid as best we can. And go out there and plant some fruit trees.
All right. Raphael, that was a quick hour. I enjoy talking to you always. Let's do this a little sooner.
Sure. Thank you for letting me truth bomb out on you wonderful listeners for that.
It was great. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.